Has anybody in here had Jesus do anything good for them ever? If you haven't raised your hand, you don't know that he did it. Because you have nothing that he didn't provide something good for you. If you had some smash-ups and bang-ups in life, it wasn't him. It's the fall. It was the horrible things that happened to us just for living on the planet. Bad stuff happens to everybody. The message title is, The Receiver Becomes the Giver. Everybody say that. The Receiver Becomes the Giver. Well, from my childhood, I didn't think that I would ever get better. I didn't have the hope that I would ever get better. I had even received the Lord in this powerful love in my life. I got saved, but I was still bound and hurt in deep, damaging ways. I'd consider myself damaged goods. Damaged goods. Have you ever been in a grocery store and they have a cart, a basket, and it's a discounted basket, and they put damaged goods in it? They put, you know, bent cans. They may not have a hole punched in them, but they got bent cans. You don't know, though. You don't know if the crack has got the food on the inside bad. They got ripped bags or boxes with holes punched in them. You know, you got stuff. And there's none of those things are, they're all discounted. If they sell them, they're discounted. Their value has dropped significantly. They are worth less. People don't pay as much for the damaged goods. Is that right? That's what I felt like. I felt like now anybody that was on the shelf, whether it was the top shelf or the bottom shelf or the middle shelf, they were still on the shelf. But I was relegated to the basket. Any damaged goods in the basket pretty much feels like a basket case. So I was a basket case of damaged goods. That's how I felt about myself. And when you come from a dysfunctional childhood, you try to meet legitimate needs in an illegitimate way. So you open doors to things in your life that you're thinking, maybe this will help, or maybe this will help, or maybe this will help, or maybe this will help. And you have opportunity to try stuff out. So you may try alcohol, and maybe you like it, maybe you don't. Maybe it dulls the pain. Maybe it causes what you're feeling inside not to feel it anymore. But then after a while, that ain't going to work out because it brings its own set of problems. It even kill you. There's all kinds of things that you open doors to when you feel like you're damaged goods. I know sugar, back when I was little, that was considered to be a nice thing to eat. But later in life, I found it was killing me. So I'm not into sugar anymore. How many of you have found that? Don't raise your hands and shout out your stuff. But there's some options here. Just even trying to change the way you feel inside, some people will exercise and overdo exercise. And they'll run and run and change the adrenaline and change the dopamine in their mind. People alter their state through all kinds of working, so that you never have to sit alone. You're always preoccupied with something. Damaged goods in the basket case are always trying to reach for something else to medicate what's gone wrong inside. I was made for unconditional love. I was. How about you? Were you made for that? I was made. I was created for unconditional love. And when I didn't get it, I started to medicate, trying to find something to meet that. On your paper there, very first little fill in the blank says this, Do you ever feel like damaged goods? So there's your first word. Is there a part of your life that doesn't work right now? Do you feel less than other people around you? Maybe even now, you might feel like a discounted version of yourself. Sometimes people who don't feel valued do things to make them feel even less valued. It's like insulting yourself for a self-inflicted injury. You're like becoming your own worst enemy. In this way, a person feels alienated from anybody they consider to be better in any way. You feel like, I remember this. I remember feeling like those people have it together. They sure don't want me around. I wouldn't fit in there. I felt better being around somebody busted up and broken. I didn't know that at the time, but I related to the level of brokenness I was on. And that's why, I'm sorry to say, honey, but we were both broken up. We found each other. Two broken people found each other. How many of you feel this way? How many of you feel like a misfit sometimes? You feel like a misfit? Do you feel like you don't belong? Anybody feel like they don't belong? These are common emotions. Because we feel like damaged goods. You guys are so agreeable. Pastor, I knew there was something wrong with you. I just didn't know what it was. You're as messed up as I am. Hey, you know what? Hallelujah. Hey, I got some really, really good news for you today. Did you know that you and I are not the first time God has encountered damaged goods? He's been running into us all over for a long time. God actually, though, this is an amazing thing about God. He looks for basket cases. Jesus hovers over the basket of humanity looking at damaged goods to make his selection. Go ahead and elbow somebody. Jesus is looking for you. He's looking for you. He's come to identify what's broken and what's hurt and all the things that have gone wrong. So I want to take a little look at one of the folks that would be considered damaged goods. You know, there's so many options in the New Testament. You got lepers, you know. That's damage on physical and emotional level. You got all kinds of sick people, blind people, hurt people, brokenhearted people, people dying, all kinds of stuff going on. Jesus shows up, and so he understands what to do with damaged goods. He was one part of the country, and he was heading down with the disciples, and he decided to leave because, for some reason, the Pharisees were saying, he's baptizing more people than John the Baptist. Even though Jesus wasn't actually baptizing people, his disciples were baptizing people. But they were continuing on with that, you know, repent for the kingdom of God has come, you know. And so the Pharisees started keeping count. Like they're keeping count. So Jesus, let's get out of here. So they head down through Samaria. And as he's heading down through Samaria, he comes to this little town, Sychar. And he tells the guys, you know, you guys go in the town there and see if you can find some food. I'm just going to sit by the well here. Just want to sit down. And right at noon, there's this lady who's a Samaritan. She's not a Jew. Men, she's not a man. She's culturally quite a distance from what would be considered traditionally appropriate or not appropriate for communicating with people over there, that side of the track. How many of you feel like you've been that guy over there? The damaged goods people over there on that side, away from everybody else, that seems to be. We've discovered, though, that there's up and outers, too. You can be down and out, but there's a lot of people who have enough to get by but don't know what to do with their life because they're just as hurting as anybody else. So Jesus is sitting there. He's weary. He's kind of tired. And this lady comes up, and she's got her little jar to dip out of that well. And She says, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered her and said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him that he would give you living water." Now, this lady's coming up for a drink of water, and now she's intrigued. She says, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well to drink from himself, as did his sons and his livestock drank from it." Jesus answered her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." And Jesus said, everybody, lean in now. Here it gets juicy. Come on. It gets real juicy. Jesus says, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered, "I have no husband." And Jesus said, "You're right in saying you have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you have said is true." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." Everybody say, damaged goods. You can go from relationship to relationship to relationship to relationship. And if the common denominator in the whole story is you, then it probably is not them. It's you. This woman was damaged goods. She was looking for unconditional love, and she had broken pieces of her life everywhere. And Jesus did not shame her. He just spoke out of that resource of the well of love in his own soul. And he says to her the reality of her life. Immediately, this woman reacts to this, and this is where she goes. "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place where the people ought to worship." Jesus said, "Woman, believe me." Look. Something inside when you meet God awakens your heart when he knows your stuff to look and see how in the world am I supposed to serve him. And suddenly she's saying, "Well, where am I supposed to worship?" Somehow she felt something. Are you hearing me? Somehow she felt something. When you met Jesus, did you feel something? Something begins to happen inside. There's something beneath it all that begins to change what's going on inside of you. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? Jesus shows up. And so now the topic shifts over to what mountain should we worship on? That's what she knows. And she says, he says, "Is coming a time when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will we worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now he is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Jesus was always, always, always connecting people to the Father. It didn't matter where they were. What did he come for? He said, "I came that you would see the Father. I don't initiate anything on my own. I don't go after anything on my own. I just live under the Father's will. And there's something going on in me these days that becoming more like Jesus has more to do with being synced up with that flow of love from the Father's heart, and it's so transformative, it's so changed. Papa, Daddy, Abba, I love you. I love you. I want to do what you want me to do. I'm so proud of you. I need you. I can't do it without you. I know. How many of you have been there? And the woman said, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called the Christ. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I who you speak to am he. Go ahead and elbow somebody and say, isn't Jesus good? Come on, isn't Jesus good? Isn't Jesus good? So the disciples show back up, and verse 28 says, so the woman left the water jar and went into town and said to the people, come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ? Come. There's a man that told me. Now look, here's this beautiful thing. Beautiful, beautiful thing. Jesus says, you've had many, many husbands, and the person you're with right now is not your husband. And her testimony was this. He told me everything I ever did. She said, my whole life was summed up in a bunch of bad choices. You don't have to tell everything you did to tell everything you did. I think it was just the grace of God on her tongue to say, come. Let me introduce to you a man who told me of everything I've ever done. You know what all the townspeople, they already knew. There was at least six men that knew. This is something, isn't it? And then Jesus says this. I'm going to jump down because the disciples are asking about if he wants something to eat and all that. And he says, I got food to eat you don't know about. In other words, my will is, my food is to do the will of God. And then he says this. He says, do you not say that there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white with harvest. And what happens next is all these people who believe the testimony of the woman start coming out to see Jesus, and then they ask Jesus to stay 2 more days, and Jesus stays 2 more days, and the testimony now is, we no longer believe merely on the basis of your testimony, woman at the well person. We believe because we've heard him talk. But none of them would have been there had she not gone and got him. Not one of them would have known. She could have kept it a secret. She could have kept the wealth of what Jesus did in her life just to herself. But she didn't. She became someone who gave it away. The receiver became the giver. Everybody say that. The receiver became the giver. Now, I want you to know there's a moment in your life and my life when you enter into a dialogue with Jesus Christ. And he knows everything that you've done wrong. And he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't shame you. I love Jesus so much because he has never rubbed my face in my mistakes. Jesus is completely aware of everything that's wrong in my life, and he offers me the answer to the deepest need of my soul, why I've been making all the bad choices to begin with. So then he steps in and he says, let me show you who I'm really connecting you with, and he brings you on a journey to know the love of the Father, and that's such a deep need in our culture today, because the Lord knows that you were created in his image and likeness. You see, a long time ago, on the sixth day of creation, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate body, got down on his knees in the dust And he formed man. Isn't he an artist? He formed man in his image. Adam was a mirror of Jesus. And then he blew into him, and he became a living soul. And man rose up, and God the Father said, "Oh, this is very good. Very, very good work." Jesus and Father God high-fived. Very, very good. Very good. Top notch. And so they gave him some assignments, and he was to go name all the animals. And then after that, he realized that the animals, there were male and female, and there was no female. And it awakened a desire inside of him. So Jesus put him out. He says, "You're going to lay down here," and put him in a deep sleep, did a little surgery on him, pulled out his rib, and created a woman. And he woke up and he said, "Whoa, man." So that's where we got that from. And a womb, it's really a wombed man, a wombed man. A woman can do everything a man could, except she can also do more. She can actually give birth. She's a man with a womb. If you give a woman a word, she'll give you a sentence back. She'll birth a sentence out of that word. If you give her a sentence, she'll give you a paragraph. If you give her a paragraph, she'll give you a chapter of a book. If you give her a little agitation, honey, hush. She's got a womb. It will multiply back. But if you give her love, come on, come on, come on. You love her and it'll multiply back. She's a wombed man. That was just for free. Wasn't that fun? Just put that in. And Adam blew it. He messed up. He was supposed to tell her that, hey, there's these trees and we're not supposed to eat of this. So the cunning serpent, Satan, the old snake, the cast out of heaven is Lucifer, who turned to his own rebellion, became Satan, and the devil slithers up and says, "He's holding out on you. God's holding out on you." God had said, "Eat from everything, enjoy yourself. There's just one thing, don't eat of this. Just one thing." He said, "He's holding out on you." And people still stuck in that whole mindset. He's holding out on us. He's holding out. It must be him. He's holding out on. They're so deceived. And what happened that day is the woman was deceived. She confessed it. She confessed, "He deceived me. I took a bite of this what you forbid us to eat." And then Satan, then the man, apparently willingly knew he was going to do it. Knew he was doing wrong, and he bit into it. And now we're. All of mankind is born in rebellion against God. That's why we're damaged goods. Everybody comes up with the idea that God's not with me, therefore I got to figure it out on my own. You might be born in a family, but you have an orphan heart. It's really, really something. And so that's where all this comes from. And so this woman suffered in the same way. And so this is the predicament. I just wanted to lay out the predicament for us. Now let's look at the process. We have a few fill-in-the-blanks for the process. Here's the process. Just go ahead and put number one. Jesus himself is your answer to what you are truly thirsting for in your life. Jesus himself is your answer. Everybody say, "He's my answer." Jesus said it this way. He says, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. And the water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." I have that now. I have that. Every now and again, there'll be some stuff that comes over and tries to trick me. And say, I'll tend to that need. But then I begin to worship. And I taste that living water. When man came down front and you invited him, he'd been on all kinds of drugs forever. He lifted up his hands. And the power of God's transforming love came down inside of this drug addict. And he said, "This is what I've always been looking for. This is what I was looking for.
And I said, there's no high like the Most High. And it was so powerful. He would sit on the bed in the hotel room and just enjoy the living water springing up from within. And now he's in the Word of God in a safe place. We're sending him books. He's reading. He's growing in the faith. In a few years, we'll see him again, and he will be standing in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Amen. Jesus, what he was really, really looking for, he was the living water. Number two, Jesus knows exactly where you are broken in your life. Jesus knows exactly where you are broken in your life. He said, go call your husband and come here. Jesus knew that there were five husbands. He knew. Jesus knows the secrets of your life. He knows the hurts that you've buried. He knows all that. And he's safe. He's safe. And our role is just to be as safe as Jesus. Are you hearing me? That's what we're about. We're here to be as safe as Jesus. I looked at you, Karen, and I know the situation in your family. And I want to pray about that right now because I got a quickening that what happened to Brian is going to happen to some of those family members. So let's claim that right now. I believe that there are some that are bound and doing meth, and they're doing whatever, opioids, they're doing stuff, and they're going to come and stand here, and the Lord's going to take all of that away from them, and he's going to break the power of that. I believe the Lord just quickened me. Let's put our faith there. The Lord knows all the broken places. He knows where your family's broken, where he knows the kids that need help. He knows all these areas. He knows. And that same glory that came on Brian, that same glory that comes into this place when we worship Jesus, comes in to transform and to heal. Let's praise him just a minute. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Man, praise you, Lord. How many of you have been fixed in some area of your life and then the Lord said, that's really good? And you say, praise God. And he says, now let's work on this over here. The potter's working with the clay on the potter's wheel. And he goes, oh, there's a little flaw here. And that's why you feel like you're spinning around all the time. And it's like, what is going on with my life? And the Lord's fixing something that is flawed. Number three, Jesus came to open your heart to Father God so that you may worship him. Worship him, drinking deeply of his love for you. Deep, deep, deep drinking. Our fathers worshiped on this mountain, but you say in Jerusalem is the place we ought to worship. That whole conversation, he says that he's looking for people, the Father is seeking those to worship him in spirit and in truth. You can be in your car. You can be anywhere. I have certain songs I'm listening to now that just lifting my heart up. I just love, I like to write them, but I've been soaking on some lately. Other people have written. Number four. This is the highlight of her moment. Jesus is your Savior. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming and he is called Christ. When he comes, he'll tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And there's a transaction that happens when you're in Jesus' presence having dialogue with him. And he's fully aware of everything that's not right in you. And you know he's aware of it. And yet you feel so loved by him that you don't feel like something's wrong with you. You know something's wrong with you, but Jesus doesn't leave you feeling that way.
You feel like loved and accepted and cherished like you have never imagined. And you know you're broken. And you know you've done wrong. And you know that things are not right. But He puts a hope inside of you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. He puts Himself inside and things begin to change. And you rise up and you were so busted up, and now you're like, I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I know I'm going to be better. I'm going to be better. I want more of Him. I want more of Him. And you're on the right track now, baby, because Jesus knows once you get connected to the Father, once you start feeding that from that bread of life and who He is, things are going to drop off of your life. There's going to be stresses that leave your life. There's going to be all kinds of things that are healed. The broken places, He's going to go say, honey, over here, when you lost your sexual purity, I'm going to heal you of that. I'm going to give you back your purity by my power. I'm going to take away all those hurtful memories of when you were down there hanging out with those people and you were abused because you were doing drugs. When you woke up that night, you didn't know where you were. I'm going to heal you of all that trauma and that pain and the suffering that you walked in. Jesus is the one who does this stuff, and He's so good at it. Let's praise the Lord, because He wants to do it all the time. If you have a heart to be healed, Jesus, just stand up in front of Jesus. He'll bring healing to you. If you say, I'm sick and tired of this, I'm sick and tired of this, He says, good, because until the pain of staying the same gets so big in your life and you'll never desire to change. One of the ways God speaks the best is when you're hurting the most. And you say, I can't stand it anymore. Jesus says, come on over here. Into my loving arms and my healing presence. Into the words that I speak into you. Jesus speaks things into you that alter your inner belief system. They transform how you feel about yourself. I'll never forget. I was working with some guys. We were praying for somebody. Amazing, amazing moment to me. Amazing, amazing moment. This guy, it was a heavy-duty spiritual time for this fellow. He blacked out. He had a lot of darkness. He disappears. One of our associate pastors prays for him. The guy comes back to. The work of the devil that was in his life begins to leave his life. He's getting better. And I sit down. I sit down, and in that moment, I feel like it's kind of the strangest thing. I sit down, and in that moment, I feel like I'm inside, in my heart, I feel like I'm inside of a little teepee with Jesus. It's the weirdest little thing. I feel like I'm sitting down, and we're sitting in a little teepee inside of me. And Jesus says, basically He's saying, you're doing what I've asked you to do. You're doing what I called you to do. And it's like He elbows me. He says, I like you. And I cried for 2 weeks because I knew He was supposed to love me because He was God, but I never knew He actually liked me. That He liked me. That He liked me. You're God. You have to love me, but you really like me. Jesus likes you. Jesus, like my brother years ago said, Jesus don't make no junk. He didn't make you junk. He made you to love you. And the more that love gets in you, the more you're going to feel like being what He wants you to be. You don't be mauling around out there You go stand before Him and be loved by Him. And learn that being in His presence and being in His Word and being with those that do that is the most important thing in your life. So, and now to the proposal, ladies and gentlemen, we're at the end here. The woman gave out what she received. This is the passion of this message. It may not get real loud, but this is the passion. Will you give what you have received? You have a testimony. What Jesus has done in your life. Now look, you could be young in the faith, and you can be old as the hills like me. But there are people that need to hear. And here's what Jesus says. He says, don't think the harvest is coming. It's here right now. Everybody repeat this with me. There are damaged goods everywhere.
There are damaged goods everywhere.
So don't relegate the kingdom of God to these eight walls. I love coming in here. But the Lord is opening my eyes in the Spirit, and I'm seeing more and more things in people's lives that I don't really know. And I'm going to respond. Part of what happened to me was Brother Richard Humphreys told me, he said, well, when you're under a building type of a project or trying to sell land, you can't function in the fullness of the anointing that's on your life. Well, guess what? We sold that property and we own this property, and I don't have that burden on me. Hey, what is your name? You know this already, but I just want to affirm God's love to you, that He is actively working at picking up the broken pieces. He's pulling it together for you. So you stick to Jesus like glue. Things came apart. There was a season where things came apart. Is that right? Anybody else feel like there's just things, a season of things came apart in your life? Jesus is actively coming. This is the most amazing thing. Jesus comes to where you are. He knows where you're coming to, where you're going to be. He knows how to encounter you. He knows what to do to get a hold of you. And then He'll awaken that in you. But here's the point. Will you take what you have right now and be available to share it? There's all kinds of broken people everywhere. At every level and every layer. And the Lord is saying to us as a congregation, be like the woman at the well and share that, hey, I think it just ran into Jesus. Look at what happened to my life. Yes. Are you there? Hallelujah. There's a verse that in 1 Peter it says, the Lord gave me this. I just thought it was so cool, so I'm going to end with this one. But 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. It's on your paper. We'll just pull up this last slide. Look at this. The Lord gave me this just to punctuate what He wants to say here. You can go from people's worst choice to God's best voice. Everybody around you might think, that guy, that girl, never. Never happened. Where did He find you? Look at you. Where did He find you? Where did He find you? Where did He find you? Most of us weren't people's best choice, were we? But God says, I have reserved a special power to be expressed. It could be written better than that, but look, from worst choice to God's best voice. Let's just lift our hearts and hands to Him right now. Father God, pour out, pour out, pour out, pour out. As Jesus said those words to His disciples, as He said those words, that the harvest is already ready right now. It's ready right now. It's ready right now. We're not going to keep it to ourselves. We're not going to keep it. We're not going to say, no, I'm going to take it. I'm going to join with you and I'll release the goodness of who you are through me. Some of you, this is just a reawakening of what you've already been. I felt the Lord is saying, some of you have already been winsome, caring, and effective for Him, and you just slid off a little bit. But the Lord's saying, I want you back in that capacity that I've anointed you to be, to speak into people's lives, to bring about that. Some, it's that kind of a thing. It's just a quickening to say, a freshness of the Lord's Spirit. You're going to see that if you just open to the Lord and ask Him during the day, you're going to see. God says, here's one needs you right now. Because the Lord knows where all the damaged goods are. He knows where everybody is. He's got some divine appointments for you. He's got some people that He wants your touch, the touch of Jesus through your life, coming into their life. He's going to give you words to say. He's going to give you something of a kind act to do. There's going to be things that Jesus will get involved and touch people through your life. He's going to touch people through your life. And in going, you're going to get better. In going and stepping out, you'll be less involved in your hindered life
what's hindered you, what's held you back? When you step forward, there's going to be things. You're going to get better and better as you go forward. Let's praise Him. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we just decree that every receiver of a work of Jesus become a giver of the work of Jesus. Every person who has received, let us stand together. Every person who's received, just lift your hands to Him right now. If you wouldn't mind, just lift your hands. Father God, pour out freshly. May the breath of life from Jesus Christ pour in. Awaken the heart. Release inside each person a greater capacity of your love and power. Right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him just for a moment. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We're shifting into a new season. We're shifting into a new season. The Lord has put this on our hearts, and He's saying there's more people beyond these walls. We're shifting into a new season. And He's causing hearts to turn to Him, causing hearts to be tenderized toward Him. People's pain, there's people wrestling with stuff like never before. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our ongoing testimony is that Jesus continually works in our life. And He may be doing something even now today when I said, hey, there's, you know, the broken pieces concept. There may be something where the Lord wants to help you right now put something back together that was broken apart. And that's part of your testimony. Hallelujah. You've been faithful to shine the light of Jesus Christ. And I sense the Lord saying, I'm increasing the light on you. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Anybody want more of the light of Jesus shining through your life? If you have needs, come on forward. Yeah, just trust just the Holy Spirit to work in us. It's so precious in here. I just want to keep going, but we got to let go here. So come on forward for prayer, and we have a fellowship next door. You're dismissed. Love on each other.